Welcome to a heartfelt podcast, The Healing Story, where I am listening to and interacting with real-life success icons. Today, I have Hiba with me, who is a very special guest. Welcome, Hiba.
Hello.
So you are the unconventional psychologist.
Yes.
Tell me about this name.
I mean, I don't like to do things the way people like to do them. You look at me, I'm not your traditional psychologist. You don't see me on the street and you're like, yeah, that one's a psychologist. You know, you don't do that. And I kind of always, from a very young age, wanted to do things differently than other people. I don't think the same as everybody else. I like to be a free thinker. And I hate boxes and I hate labels and I hate being pigeonholed into looking and behaving and talking in a certain way to fit a box. So part of what I do in life is allow people to authentically be themselves, allow authentically to express your art. Each of us is an individual, like a fingerprint. Each of us is different, but society and culture has made us kind of conform into like one way. We all look alike. You know, everyone looks like the Kardashians in Dubai. You know, like everybody looks the same, talks the same, wants to do the same things. And that stops us from being individuals. So by saying I'm an unconventional psychologist, just don't walk into my office and expect me to sit down and have talk therapy with you for 45 minutes and then ask you to leave. No, we're going to do things that are unconventional during that hour together. I'm going to push you outside your comfort zone. I'm going to ask you questions maybe no one's ever asked you. But I'm also, what I'm going to do during that time is be authentically myself so that you can see that you can express yourself authentically as well. And that's where I started saying to myself, you know, I'm not unconventional. Get ready. It's more for the people. I know who I am, right? Yes. It's more for the people coming into my space being like, prepare yourself. I curse. You know, I speak in slang. I might throw a hip hop song here and there. But don't think you're coming to what you've been conditioned is therapy or a therapist. That's really where the name came from.
I love that. And thus people get unconventional results.
100%.
I love that. I want to know more, Hiba, about your own transformation story.
Yeah. I've gone through it. You know, okay. In this life, I say I've lived many lives in this life. And every time there's a life, it's a new era for me. It's a new feeling. It's a new transformation. And I've been transforming a lot through my life. But the aha moment that took me out of the box to this new world, this new lifestyle that I live, this new me that has been just developing, I would say it was around the 2014 mark.
Okay.
2014 mark, I had something called the dark night of the soul. In spirituality, we call it the dark night of the soul. For everybody who's not into the spiritual world, it means shit hit the fan. Literally, everything in your life.
Basically,
everything in your life that you have falls apart.
Yeah.
So for me, that consisted of my dad passing away, losing 1.5 million of all my savings in a business transaction where somebody stole the money from me. And then at some point as well, I was somebody who was very fit, very into health and fitness, meal prepping since I was 15 years old. I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. From all of that, it was like in a mark of about 3 to 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah, that's intense. Hit after hit after hit. Mm. And there was also a lot of other things happening in the background. I was unfulfilled in what I was doing in my career. It was just like life became hopeless and helpless. I was really devastated. I was really down like a robot. I was just getting up doing the same thing over and over until I realized that I was actually functionally depressed. Functional depression is a type of depression where you're able to get up and function and do your day-to-day, but you have no soul and no life and no energy to do anything else. And I'm an extrovert. I'm a people person. So during that time, I was like out being with people, being with friends, living my best life. That period in my room 24/7, go to work, come back in my room, go to bar, like for 6 months. And what saved me, and this is a funny story, is what saved me was a TV show. So wow. I was binge watching TV because, you know, you're depressed. What you do is you eat junk, you binge TV, and you do what you're supposed to do, lay in bed as you're depressed.
Yeah.
And I was watching a TV show called Scandal. And Scandal is led by a lady called Olivia Pope in the show. And Olivia Pope is this badass woman, like alpha female fixer of the White House. And her team and her were going through a struggle. And she had a monologue where she was looking into the camera and she said to the camera, like, life will f- you up and life will push you down and life will do that. But are you gladiator in this life or are you, you know, like that, that was this. And I looked at myself and I was like, I'm no, I'm a gladiator, you know, and it pumped me up. My whole blood was rising through my body. My heart was pumping. Something about that monologue was for me. And I just kind of jumped out of bed. I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, this is the last day you're ever going to feel like this. And it was an oath I made to myself. And that was really the last day I ever felt like that. I woke up next morning, hit the gym at 5 a.m., got out, went to work, left after work. I was already a psychologist. I knew that I had to fix my mental health. I wasn't working in psychology, but I had the background of it. Okay. And I knew I had to get my mind straight. I never worked in psychology because I didn't like the method of sitting and talking to somebody.
Okay.
So I was like, this doesn't sound like it's going to give me any results. So what I did is when I got out that next day, I went and I was like, all right, I need new information. And I went and became obsessively curious about mental health at that point, about getting my mindset. It was very selfish. It wasn't like, I'm going to save the world. It was, I'm going to get myself right. And I got myself right. I read, I think, in that month, I read about 200 books. Like, I was just reading books and books and research and understanding. And my mood started to change and my brain started to awaken. And I just became obsessed with mental health. Obsessed. You know, understanding how your brain works. Understanding why did I get into that phase of my life. I thought I was resilient. Like, I've gone through worse stuff before that. But why was that the breaking point of me? Why was that where I gave up? And there was days where I was like, I am done. Why am I on this earth? Like, what are we here to do? And these are big existential questions to ask. Why am I here? It's not what is my purpose. Am I here? There's difference. Why am I here and why my purpose, right? Mm-hmm. There's two different questions. And I think what's important to know is we are the only people that are going to save ourselves. Nobody's going to save you.
No one.
Nobody's going to save you.
Yeah.
I had to save myself at that point. People who know you didn't even realize I was depressed. I'm like, did you not see that I went from like out and about and being the life of a party to not leaving my room for 6 months from my house? Like, do you not notice that? But people don't notice because they're busy with their own drama. And we hope that somebody will come to save us because society has conditioned us with these superhero movies that somebody's going to come and save the day. You are only going to save the day. So I had to step up for myself and save myself. And when I saved myself, I started to understand better that everything outside of me is inside of me. Everything outside is inside. I fix the inside, the outside changes. And that was kind of what my obsession began with. You know, I say that if you're not obsessed with something, you can't create change. You have to be obsessed. And I was obsessed with understanding my mind and creating change in my life. And as I was creating the change of my life, transformations were happening. I call them, like, you go through phases in life. You go through phases. The first phase is that you think you're transforming, right? You think, oh, like, yes, I got it. You just kind of peel the plaster.
Yes, the first layer.
The first layer. You know, it's just not even your skin. That was the plaster.
Yeah.
Right? But then you have to do surgery on this arm. Mm-hmm. That's how deep you're going to go. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like, oh, all right, now it's self-love and we're all good, right? There is deep healing work that has to happen. You have to look at the deepest, ugliest parts of yourself, and we all have ugly parts of ourselves, and be like, I can look at that without judging it. I can look at that part of me and understand it. I can look at that part of me and empathize with it. But you also have to realize there will be days where you hate that part of you.
Exactly.
Where it is not all upward. Mm-hmm. Life is up and down. We're going to have high days and low days. We're going to have days like I wake up now and some days I'm just like, am I even doing anything in life? You know, like, what am I doing right now? am I contributing to society, right?
Yes.
You know, I wake up and I'm like, and then I know, like, I've already, you know, if I just look into my history, I know for the past 6 years, I've been devoted to this cause. Mm-hmm. And I have transformed thousands of lives. And I still wake up some days and say, have I done enough? Am I contributing? Am I purposeful in this life? And that's just part of the human experience.
Exactly. You
know? We're here having a human experience. And experience is not only good. And experience is not only bad. There's also the mundane, the boring, the ones that just don't even, the days that meh. It's a meh day. That's part of your experience as well.
Yes.
And I think because of social media and because of all the things that we see, we've been so programmed of this like happiness, pursuit of
everything's
happiness.
Perfect. Life is amazing. Everyone's always happy. It's so true. Social media has played a major role in portraying that image.
100%. And I think right now, and as part of what I hope my mission is to show that other side. So I like to post very raw shit that's going on with me. So like, yeah, I can post me flying on the planes and, you know, meeting all these celebrities and doing all that stuff. I choose not to on purpose because I'm like, that's not real life. I'm showing somebody one aspect, 1% of my life. Let me show you when I'm sitting in my room after my healing session, crying my eyes out, you know, because we just looked into a trauma from my childhood where I cried over Donald Duck when I was 7 years old. You know, like that's raw,
yes.
Right? That took an hour of my life where I was in my lowest, but no one wants to show you this. Most therapists don't even want to talk about that they're in therapy.
Exactly.
I'm like, I'm a therapist. Please. I'm in therapy.
That's truly what people need to understand. That being a therapist doesn't mean that this therapist does not need a therapist.
Everybody on this earth needs a therapist, needs somebody who's a sounding board for them that can help them see things from another perspective. Mm-hmm. It's not about you need a therapist when you're having a mental breakdown, but we have a lot of coping strategies and coping mechanisms that we will not see or we won't be aware of unless somebody from our blind spot can show it to us.
Yes.
Right? Because for us, that's the norm. That's normal. That's, you think it's your personality. For somebody else, that's a huge red flag, right? And you're not even aware of it being a red flag. As simple as that, because it's part of your day-to-day, it's part of your coping mechanism, it's part of your coping strategies in life.
You get used to it eventually.
You're not even aware it's there.
Yeah.
You know, you're not even aware it's there. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll give you something as simple as when you want to take space in a relationship, right? Some of us, if somebody tells you, I want to take space, you feel insecure. And for some people, when somebody says, I want to take space, that's like honoring and nourishing the relationship, right? I come from the background as if somebody takes space from you, they don't like you. They're ready to leave. Arab culture.
Right? Yes.
Yeah? Right? If your dad walks away from your mom or your mom walks away from your dad, right, in an argument, right? So I grew up watching it. If somebody walks away from a fight, that means they don't love you.
Mm.
So if somebody comes and says to me, I need space from you, they don't love me. But all they want is to take a nap.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind
as
of things,
simple as that.
As simple as that. But we can't be aware of
it. It takes years to realize this. Sometimes,
Sometimes just you an example. Need a therapist to show you a coping mechanism or a strategy that you've learned that is not initially correct. It's just something you learned. That's your only frame of reference. And through life, everybody, you can give me a frame of reference. Just meeting somebody downstairs in the parking lot, they can give me a frame of reference. We're accumulating frames of references from different people. Now, if we are aware to it and open that I can learn something from everybody's frame of reference, we can shift our own perspective.
So true.
But if we come with it like, no, I'm right, everybody else is wrong, you will just propel this and you will pass it generation to generation to generation.
True. The key is being open. Openness and willingness to learn.
Willingness, yes. That's
and willingness to rediscover yourself. Once, twice, how many times it might take?
Times.
It's fine.
You have to kill parts of your personality, invent new parts of your personality, you know, retire. I have a thing that I do that's quite fun. Every time I retire a personality that no longer serves me, I create a basketball jersey. I put the name of the persona. I put a number and I hang it up. I'm like, masalama, you know, like hang it up, right? And for me, that's symbolic to be like, so for example, I had a persona called the sergeant. The sergeant was drill.
Mm-hmm.
Wakes up at 5, sleeps at 10, you know, talks to you like that. Everything needs to be routine and simple. We eat the same food every single day. We train the same way. You know, it was very militant.
Mm.
And I learned that from my mother. So at one point, I was like, this no longer serves me, being so militant in everything that I do, being so tough on myself on everything I do. So I retired the sergeant. Now there's a soldier there somewhere, but yeah. I retired the sergeant.
Yeah.
Right?
But this is what I wanted to ask you, is that even this personality that you retire from, it still comes back sometimes.
It can. It can. But it will always, if you go to the deep-rooted cause of it and heal the deep-rooted mm-hmm. cause of it, it will release.
Okay.
Right? Sometimes you're just peeling an onion. So you peel the first layer of the sergeant, the second layer of the sergeant. It's not actually coming back. It's just another layer, another layer, another layer until the onion is fully peeled.
Yes.
Khalas. Then you're done.
Khalas.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. And that can go over years. Like I had one memory and I always like to talk about this memory. It has shaped so much of my life and it wasn't even traumatic in the name of trauma. Like I can give you a million other memories that were traumatic. It's a memory. We're in Disneyland with my mom and with my whole family. I never asked for anything as a kid. This one day there was this little small Donald Duck this big, and I asked my mom, can you buy me this Donald Duck? And she said, okay, but this is the last thing I'm gonna buy you. Backstory, she just bought like all these clothes for me from Walt Disney and all the, you know, the bags and all of the things, right? Maybe not what I wanted, but what she thought I wanted, but I just wanted this little toy. This memory, I worked on it for 2.5 years. When it started showing up in my therapy sessions, I'm like, I'm actually done. Like, I'm so fed up that this is the memory that caused a lot of things. But what it did, what it taught me was like, when you ask for help, people will say no. When you ask for like for support, people might judge you. If you ask for something you want, people be the lukifi, you know? And for her to say, this is the last thing you can ask for, made me as a child feel like I'm a burden. I ask for so much. It's such an easy memory. But I stopped asking for anything in life and doing shit myself because of this memory.
Wow.
Now, was it my mom's intention? Obviously not. But that's how a child processes stuff when they're young. So this simple memory of I got the Donald Duck at the end. It's not like I didn't get the Donald Duck. Yeah. Imagine if I didn't get the Donald Duck.
Imagine.
Dina, if I didn't get the Donald Duck, I don't know where I'd be today. You know, it's like such
Alhamdulillah,
a
you got thank the God, Donald
you know, all of this trauma came and I got the Donald Duck toy that's like a beanie this big.
Wait, no Donald Duck, you still
have it? I have the Donald Duck. Alhamdulillah, right? Like, I'm just like, imagine what we can go through though.
Yeah. It's wow. Crazy. Wow. It is crazy. And thank you for sharing this. Thank you for being so transparent about
always.
It. And this is exactly what I try to convey. Like, it doesn't have to be something so bad or, yani, it could be the simplest sentence, simplest. But the effect it has 100%. On the child is what really...
Exponential. Yeah.
Exactly. How is little Hiba now?
Oh, she's having the time of her life. You know, she does have days where she throws tantrums for sure, you know, but reparenting myself has been kind of one of my best experiences in life. It has given me a lot of nurturing abilities. And in the past, I didn't think I was a nurturing person. Today, I feel I'm such a nurturing person because I started nurturing my inner child first. And then that kind of opens up and spreads into the rest of your life, that you become a nurturing person that takes care of people. She likes to have fun. She likes to be playful. She likes to self-express. She likes to be creative. And it's my responsibility as the adult Hiba to consistently allow her the space to do that and create the space for her to do that. We get so sucked up in our day-to-day and this being an adult that we sometimes forget to have our childish fun moments, our play moments. And honestly, this is something that is still a work in progress for me, to make sure play is integrated into my lifestyle. I have it as days where I play, but it's not a seamless, easy integration. And for me, if you tell me what is your goal in life, like what is a goal for me, is to be enjoying my life in every moment with play and work. Like that's my goal. It's not one or the other. I don't have numbers. I don't have financial. I've hit all of those. Listen, this is something I want to tell you and everybody that's listening. We say when I get the million, I'll be happy. you hit the million. You're still like, what's going on? I'm missing something, right? Then you say, okay, maybe it's 2 million. Then you'll hit that number and you'll still feel like, what's missing?
There's something else.
Yes, there's something else. I came to a point to realize that no matter what accomplishment and goal, start the business, start two businesses, start three businesses, make passive income, make another stream of passive income. It's never, never going to give you what you truly want. And what we're all looking for at the end of the day is peace.
Yes.
Full stop. And peace does not come from the outside world. It comes from within you. Peace does not come from having a million in your bank account. You'll still have anxiety when you have a million in your bank account because you think you're going to lose it.
Yes, exactly. It might even get worse.
Because the fear is within you. It's not outside of you. Mm-hmm. You've achieved all these external things, but the internal thing, the little girl internally, the nervous system that's dysregulated is still you. Whether you have a million or 10 million, the dysregulated nervous system is you. And the only way you can find peace is when you learn how to rest and relax.
Yes.
And honestly, this is where I am in my phase of my life, my transformation right now. Mm-hmm. I'm learning. I don't know how to do it. I'm learning how to rest and relax. Hence why I'm going away on a trip for a whole month. My therapist subscribed this for me this year. She said, take 3 months off. I was like, girl, I can't do that. She was like, you can. You have all things in place to go away for 3 months. I'm like, my nervous system can't do 3 months. She says, let's start with one.
Yeah.
And we agreed on one.
Okay.
Where I will not check an email. I will not do one day's work. I will not go on a podcast. I will not do anything that's related to my work mission. And that is because we are so conditioned to be go, go, go.
Yes.
Do, do, do. Hustle culture. Blah, blah, blah. Your self-worth is connected to your achievements. Mm-hmm. We've so ingrained that even when I'm learning and it's my business and I'm pulling myself back and I'm working 3 days a week and I'm like pushing myself back. Yeah. Theoretically, I'm working 3 days a week and then I find work to do on the other four. You know, like this is how it's so ridiculous, right? Yeah. And then with that, this is the, like, if we want to talk about what stage of my life I'm right, I am learning how to rest and relax. I am learning to regulate
my parasympathetic
nervous system. It's the nervous system. If your whole life you're in fight and flight, it's very hard for us to relax. Because your whole life you're in fight and flight. Your whole life. Mm-hmm. Your sympathetic nervous system is on the go.
Yeah.
Right? And in order for us to have balance in our nervous system, we need to know how to switch on and switch off. So yes, there will be a moment where we're dysregulated, but we need to have a moment where we regulate again. None of us have learned how to regulate again. And that's what I spend most of my healing work doing with myself right now. Mm-hmm. My inner work is regulating that I know how to switch on the rest and recovery mode.
Okay. Is it easy doing that?
There's a sequence, you know, there's a sequence of steps that you have to follow and you have to consistently do it. It's not a magic pill.
Yeah.
It's not a hack. It's something that you have to consistently do.
Okay.
Every time you're hijacked to return into the space, and with time, it is easier. Now, it does help when you have people around you who are supportive, who remind you to rest, to remind you not to take a little bit more on your plate. But honestly, it will start and always end with you. So
definitely, because sometimes some people have no one to remind them,
100%.
And the support system is not there.
100%.
So I really want to emphasize that even if there was no one, even if the support system did not exist, it's truly about how much you are willing to stay consistent.
It's all in you. At the end of the day, it's only you.
Yes. Like, Was it easy for you, Hiba, to save yourself in the beginning of this journey?
Yes. And I'll tell you why I say yes. It's because I have two virtues and values within me that I had embedded for a very long time, even before that. Consistency and determination, right? I'm a very consistent person. I love rituals. I told you I was meal prepping at 15. That creates a sort of discipline.
Okay.
And so when I make, and also I think another thing is when I make my word is my word. If I give you my word, it's my word. So if I give myself my word, it's my word. And I think that moment when I said that vow, that was a word. that I gave myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately kind of went into this space of, all right, let's go. Let's put all our ducks in a row. Let's put A, B, C, D, E, all ducks in a row, and let's get it done. You know, let's get it done. And that's consistency and that discipline to be consistent. Mm-hmm. And determination comes from the point of view of that, you know what? I deserve to win. I'm determined to win.
Mm-hmm.
This is my story here. I'm going to win. No one's going to win for you, and nobody's going to want you to win over them, and you know, all that kind of stuff. But you have to. I can't want it for you. You know, a lot of these podcasts tell me, tell you one motivational thing at the end of the podcast for people, motivate them. And I'm always like, you got to motivate yourself. You know, you
easy and simple. Tell me one thing that you learned about yourself during that dark night of the soul and all the journey up till today. One major thing you learned about Hiba.
I learned that I'm multifaceted. I'm not one thing. And I think that helped me with so much in my life, because being multifaceted means I can be Hiba the poet, because I write a lot of poetry. I can also be Hiba the healer. I can also be Hiba the best friend. I can be Hiba the aunt. I can be Hiba the partner. I can be Hiba in a multifaceted. There's not one way that I'm here to express. I'm here to express in multiple ways. And I think that released me from this burden of I need to be one thing.
Yeah. And how is your emotional well-being today?
Right now?
Yeah.
Today?
Yeah.
I would say I'm at a 10.
Okay.
All right. If you checked on me last week when I had 6 hours of sleep the whole week, it would have been a 3, right? But, and this is again what we discussed, is nothing is lean, like nothing is stagnant. Nothing is, things in life are up and down. You know, they fluctuate. There's fluctuations. So you can find me at a 10 right now, but later on the day, I might be a 5. The whole idea is not about where we are on the emotional scale, is how well are we taking care of ourselves during these days. Did I wake up this day today and meditated? Yes. Even the days I'm a 3, I wake up and I meditate. Did I journal today? Yes. Even the days I'm a 3, I journal. Did I eat my right food today and hydrate? Yes, 100%. But even in those days, but sometimes it's like a wave. You don't know what's coming. You're going to be surfing the waves some days. Some days you're going to be drowning on the waves. Some days you're going to just be chilling on the beach. And all parts of this journey are beautiful and perfect. All parts of it. So the where we are on the scale of well-being doesn't matter, as long as we're taking care of ourselves, as long as we're making sure we're nurturing ourselves. Then ride the wave, drown in the wave, be on the beach. You're taking care of yourself. It doesn't matter. It's all part of the journey.
Yes, yes. And accepting that it's okay some days to be 3, days 10, 100%. Some days. Exactly. Yeah. That's really about it. What's an accomplishment that you are most proud of?
One accomplishment that I'm most proud of. Does it have to be an actual accomplishment? It could be something.
Whatever you resonate with.
I think my biggest accomplishment for myself right now in my life is, I'll say 2 things. Can I say 2? Okay, because there's 2. Okay. I mean, I want to have it all. Okay. 2 things.
You can have it all, Hiba.
I want to have it all. All right. So 2 things I'm going to say. My first biggest accomplishment, I would say, is I go to things people say no to. So whenever people have said no and I felt in my gut that it's a yes, I follow through with it. And my success, my actual physical success, has come from when times people have said, no, don't do that. And I was like, my gut says yes, and I do that. Whether it's starting the smash room, whether it's getting a divorce, it was always me saying, there's something off and I'm going to do that. Like, and people are like, no, 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 don't do that. No. And then I'm like, yes, I'll do it. That has been my biggest success. My second biggest success is my little doggy. That's what I say. I manifested her from scratch. So I set an intention out that I'm going to get this specific dog. Her name is Sage. I named her before I ever even had her. I had a picture of her. I kept posting the picture on social media saying, this is my dog. Her name is Sage. And I told the universe, I'm going to manifest Sage. I don't want to pay one dime to get this dog, because, you know, Frenchies are expensive. They're like $10,000. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. And I was like, it will arrive. She will arrive exactly how she is to my door. And I kid you not, 2 months later, one of my friends was like, you got a dog, right? I said, no. And he was like, you don't? And I was like, no, I don't have a dog. I'm manifesting. And he's in Marathi, he's like explaining manifestation to him. And he was like, so do you mean you want this dog? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I'll get it for you. I was like, I don't want to pay for this dog. He was like, don't worry. My friend has a friend, you know? 3 days later, he gives me a call. He's like, your dog is here. We went to the pet shop. I was like, and he's like, this is a gift from us. Boom, manifested the dog.
Ladies and gentlemen, power of manifestation. Amazing. I love this.
Yeah, that's my biggest achievement.
Did you manifest other stuff?
I manifest all the time.
Okay.
All the time. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Hiba, before we wrap up, I want to play a little game.
Let's do it.
I'm going to ask you to close your eyes.
Okay.
And then I'm going to say a word. And the first emotion that pops up in your head, just say it.
Okay.
Okay? Wolf.
Love.
Depression.
Darkness.
Power.
Hmm.
Taking too long.
Oh, too long? I have to be fast? Okay. Power as an emotion? I saw a color, red, but if I said an emotion, it would be compassion?
Pink.
Empathy.
Self-worth.
Oh, self-worth is an emotion. I would say self-worth, Alfie, pride.
Okay, nice. You can open your eyes now.
Okay, cool.
One last question for you, Hiba. If you had all the time, energy, and money in the world, what is one thing that you would want to achieve?
So one of my main goals in this life is to teach people how to become self-healers. I would dedicate that, but I would start from a very young age. I want kids to know how to self-heal.
Yes.
Before.
Wow. This is what the world needs.
Yes. That's
Please
my ultimate
do
goal.
Do that.
Inshallah.
Hiba, I had a lovely time with you.
Likewise.
Thank you so much for
Always.
Being here today. It was a real amazing time and it was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.